Good morning, and welcome to the How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything workshop. And good morning, Jen.
And good afternoon, Chris.
Indeed. All right, so a big weekend.
Yeah, big weekend. Yeah, lots to see.
Lots to see. So for Friday, the assignment was, I wouldn't suffer if only, record and listen. And for Saturday, my life would be perfect if only, record and listen. And for Sunday, I wouldn't be angry if only, record and listen.
If only.
All right, so first caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Jamie in Delaware.
Hey, Jamie.
Hello, good morning. I'm glad to be
here. Good morning.
Here.
Glad you're here.
Yeah, me too. In terms of the question, I wouldn't suffer if only, and one of my answers was if I would love myself and others unconditionally, because, and then related to that, I think, is I said that if I would stop dualistic thinking, then I wouldn't suffer, because I get into comparing myself to others and winning and losing and better and worse, and one time I can think that I'm the greatest, and then another time the same logic will put me in a place where I think I'm very inferior. So it doesn't work.
No, and it's designed to create suffering, isn't it?
Yes, and I have to. There's some part of me that wants to bring me back to that logic, but I just keep looking at it, and I can just keep seeing that it tries to tell me it makes sense, but it only makes sense in terms of preserving the, for want of a better term, my ego.
Exactly, and it's so funny, isn't it, that it uses the word logic. Right?
Exactly.
I mean, this is it's just obvious. It's just so. I mean, come on, it's logical. And then when we look at it, we realize, actually, it really isn't. It's kind of the opposite of that, actually. It doesn't make any sense that with all of these unique creatures, right, where each of us is completely unique. You know, it's like the snowflake thing, right? There never has been one like this. There never will be one like this. And so how would it be logical to compare those two things and to decide, as you say, in one moment, oh, this one's really good. And in the next moment, that same one is terrible, bottom of the barrel.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that habit of thinking goes back a long time. I think seeing through it and coming back to seeing through it and seeing that there are alternatives is helpful and hopeful.
Yes, and that's exactly what I'm going to ask. That's perfect because, you know, that if only what I project conditioned mind wants to do is if we accidentally see something like that, if we remember, wait a minute, the conditional is the only thing that's causing suffering. If I see myself, love myself through the eyes of the unconditional and everything and everyone else, there is no suffering. And so the only way it can then maintain itself is to say, well, if only I could feel that way. But the thing is that in that moment, I am experiencing that and I can practice staying there. I don't have to tag on that if only.
Right. It's like in a way I'm evolving, but in another way I'm right where I am right now.
Exactly. Exactly. And what's so funny is that if only is what introduces the conditional. And what you're seeing is, wow, it's the unconditional. So however I am right now in this moment, whatever I'm seeing, whatever I'm not seeing, whatever I'm awake to, whatever I'm asleep to, all of that is within the unconditional and is completely all right.
right. And my intention is to keep working with the tools I have to recording and listening, meditating, adding more tools to keep working on this.
Yeah, to keep practicing. Because, and then we get to spend more and more of our time conscious that there's nothing wrong. There never is anything wrong, but it's just that often we forget it. And so what we want to do is to practice staying in that place where we remember it, because it's so much more fun.
And the negative voices are just voices, you know, give up or anything. But
it's
a practice. It works because I've seen it work.
Yes, exactly so. Exactly so.
Right.
Yep.
All right. Okay.
All right.
Well,
thank you so
much
for calling in this morning.
Take care.
Okay.
Right. Bye.
Take care. Be happy.
Thank you, Jamie. And, Jen, one thing that seemed like really important to underline, I think the way that you were laying out, that the unconditional is the only thing causing suffering. And that little two words in there, right, if only, introduces that and then just launches us into the world of content, even though, like you say, we were actually in the process of whatever that was before that. So that process of happiness or not suffering or seeing life as perfect, that entertaining that little yeah but, or that no to life, really moves us into content and away from process.
Exactly. It moves us into content and away from process. That's well put. Yep, exactly so.
All right, let's check in with our next caller. Next caller, you're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Chris. Hello, Jen. It's Brian from Detroit.
Hey, Brian.
I've really gotten focused on the word if over the last several days, and it seems like such a contingency word. It's kind of like an automatic doorway into fantasy. And conditioning kind of pulls me into thinking that I'm exploring possibility. But in reality, when I use the word if, I'm making possibilities up. I'm not accepting the possibilities that are there. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, completely.
Yeah.
So really seeing how that if is a doorway into fantasy, which is, I would project, a synonym for doorway out of presence.
Yes.
And that supposedly that if is taking you into possibility, but what you see is it's made up possibilities, and then meanwhile you're missing the possibilities that are right here in the present.
Right. I mean, the proximity is gone of whatever's happening around me. I'm in the future with that word if. So, yeah, and it's been really interesting because, as a kid when I grew up, I was encouraged to use the phrase what if, like to use your imagination. And it's kind of like moving out of reality into this other world. So it's going to be really interesting practice to start listening and catching that whole concept of, well, what if, or if only, or...
Yeah, to really start having that be a flag of, wait a minute, you know, I don't need to or want to leave here. You know, what I just saw when you said that, Brian, is it's like, it's a completely different thing to say, I would be happy if only, you know, as we were looking at with that first caller, if only I could stay in the unconditional. And there's a way in which that's true, but that's a really different how than saying, you know, when I'm in the unconditional, I'm happy. When I'm in the conditional, I suffer. That's just a statement of what's so. It's not a conditional, so I just need to get to this place. If only I could get to this place. It's just a statement of our experience.
Yeah, exactly. It always leads me back to this belief system that I have that seems to work for me, that whenever I'm buying time, whenever conditioning wants to buy time, which is like taking me out of now, it needs that time in order to exist. When conditioning has a hard time when I'm just looking at the possibilities that are right in front of me.
Exactly.
Yeah. What's
well,
it gonna do?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Say that
again. It's like, what can it do if I'm right here, right now? Because it doesn't have time to do anything. It's just one of those things I fall back on. I had read Dogen's material on time and didn't understand most of it, but the stuff that I did get out of it, I'm like, yeah, that's right. If I stay right now, it just simplifies everything so much.
It really does. Yeah. And it gives the voices nothing to work with. I love that image. They need some amount of unconsciousness. And it could be super short, like just a moment, you know, a fraction of a second that we're unconscious, and it can insert the if only. But it needs that. If we never leave right here, and in the case you're talking about, the possibilities that are right here, it can't get its program started.
Yeah, and that's pretty much, for me, language-based. There's the whole other just physical condition, the whole conditioning that operates on a physical level that's mm-hmm. almost instantaneous. But
yeah.
If I'm able to bypass the language barrier, then I really mm-hmm. get to see how that other conditioning is working, which is also mm-hmm. really intense. But, I love it. I mean, I love working on this stuff, and I love, like, being aware, like, pulling myself back in and going, this is really simple. I'm just talking to Jen and Chris right now. How complicated can this actually be, right?
Oh, amen. Amen. And what we know is it can feel very complicated. It can feel complicated and anxious-producing and fearful and, you know, frustrating and confusing or any of those things. If we're in a conversation, not in a conversation in the mind, if we're in only this conversation that I'm actually in, it's very simple.
Exactly. And for me, it's just giving conditioning time. As soon as I give it enough time to start the conversation, you know, then I'm in a whole different conflict, and there's a whole bunch of energy that gets lost. So, it's been an interesting week. Like what? Looking at it.
It's a great series of questions. Yeah,
it is. Well, thank you very much.
All right, thanks so much, Brian.
Be well.
Happy. Be well.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Thank you, Brian. And Jen, what was dropping in for me was how if we, like Brian was saying, if we do. We may not be able to actually hear it say, if only, but we can certainly feel that. And when we buy into it, then, you know, the whole conditioned world just is there for conditioning to move the attention towards. So that we're almost always put up to some kind of an impossible task in that place. That whatever we're believing is in, whatever the content is that we're believing it, that is in the way of whatever the process that was said before that, with happiness or mm-hmm. not being angry, then we just get launched into a task that is impossible to do, and keeps the attention very busy.
Yeah, so if I'm tracking what you're saying, that basically whatever the thing is, the condition that's been put there, in order for me to be happy, in order for me not to suffer, in order for me not to be angry, in order, whatever it is, whatever that condition is, if we're not right there to catch that being introduced, then we're off and running, essentially chasing our tail, because it's, let's see, how to say it, because it's introduced by conditioning. So let's say, gosh, I wouldn't suffer if only I could stay in the unconditional, which sounds like such an intelligent thing to say,
exactly.
Right? And such an open-hearted thing. But because it's introduced in the by conditioned mind into a conditional system, it's not meant to support me in actually experiencing the unconditional. So off I'm running towards a process that's never going to be achieved because I'm chasing something basically that's elusive, that hates me, that doesn't want me to succeed.
Exactly. Yeah, we put the unconditional in charge of, I'm sorry, we put the conditional in charge of finding the unconditional.
Exactly.
Not a good plan.
No, because of course what it's going to do is, well, I mean, you did feel it, but it was so short, and I don't know why can't you stay in it?
Yeah.
They seem to be able to stay. Right? Not realizing, wait, that entire conversation is conditional.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, the seduction in that is pretty impressive, that it really is that sense of if only, like, I'm
yeah.
almost there. You're really,
exactly.
you're so close. And it's just this one thing that if you could somehow overcome or make a difference
yeah.
with, then you'll have exactly what you want.
Yeah, yeah, oh my gosh. And the radicals, it's why it's so radical in that place to take that one step back and go, this is perfect right here,
yeah.
right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, as you say
I can't
that,
find the unconditional. Perfect. That's completely all right.
Good. That's where I want to be. Yeah. That if that if only saying if only or hearing that is the bridge into content or that, then we can just follow that bridge right back, like you said.
Exactly. That's a great point.
That's a convenient bridge right back to present. So yeah.
Yeah. I love it.
All right. Here's our next caller. Next caller, you're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Sorry, it was muted. Talking away.
Hey, Laura.
Hi, Laura.
Yeah, so it's like shoulds and if onlys. And I really got to see it's that if only, you know, mindless consistency, it's harsh, right? It just starts uh-huh. off as a harsh startup, and so it activates ego immediately.
That should or that if only is harsh, and so it immediately activates conditioning.
Yeah, and so you know Fridays, if only I would get my crap together, right? And if
mm-hmm.
only people would just do what they say, and it's always mm-hmm. external, like it's either blaming others or it's blaming
yep.
this person, and it's not curious, it's not looking for solutions or assistance or you know attempting to help this person. It's in a like you guys were talking about before, it's conditional, it's problem-oriented.
Yeah, it's so true. And in fact, I don't know if this is your experience, but often in a place like that, if suggestions come our way in whatever form, you know,
mm-hmm.
that actually may assist, there's a sort of karmic deflection that can happen. No, that's not going to work. Or, maybe later. I don't want to do that. Whatever it is. Because it's interrupting my ability to sit here and suffer with this.
Oh, I'm so glad you said that. So when I've been doing this, what I've been doing is like, it's like letting, it's like conditioning is so loud, I don't actually know which one's coming first, right? If life's answering first or, but so I like get the loudness out of the way and write
mm-hmm.
that and then sit for, you know, a little bit longer to see like what's really there. And that's
mm-hmm.
exactly what will arise. It's just, you know, take a breath, get here, trust life will guide,
mm-hmm.
that I wouldn't suffer if only I'm available.
Yeah.
But I'm not
yeah.
available because that loudness takes over and,
yeah.
and if I'm not present without a doubt, but it's like I'm so susceptible to what it says to me that I'll get
yeah.
hooked and then
yeah.
I miss what life's offering.
Exactly. And you know what's so fabulous about what you just laid out, Laura, is that the funny part is that, so there I am, the big conditioned reaction happens, and that's held within awareness, I project, because
mm-hmm.
then there's the, okay, let me just stay here. That's fine. Let that blow through. And then what comes next is, oh, if only I were available. And I was available
mm-hmm.
for that.
Yeah.
So what you're doing is it's just such a commercial for we don't have to do anything. Awareness. Truly, like the intelligence that animates is paying attention and gets it. Okay, yes, there's going to be that big ego reaction at first. That's okay. I know what's next. I just sit through that. And then I'm available for whatever's here in the present moment.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jen, as you reflected that, whoever was talking earlier, I was loving that place around, because you, when you said that, what I was able to experience was that is true, because there was an awareness that was seeing the big, like, energy surge of, well, yeah, if only there's this, you know, and I can feel it on a body, you know, viscerally, and awareness was watching that.
Yeah.
But I hadn't, so big. I mean, I hadn't mm-hmm. seen it, and it's such a relaxing place when I can remember that. Oh, yeah, that's okay that there's a big ego burst of,
right.
Like, that's okay. Awareness is holding that and witnessing that, too.
You know, it's so interesting, Laura. I don't know. I'll have to look and see, but here's one thing that dropped in as you were talking about that I think it was on the show on Friday where we were talking about the merit of really letting ourselves answer the questions. I don't even know if using the word authentically is quite it, but just letting whatever comes up come up around the answers, not censoring it and going to sort of the, quote, right answer, or, you know, I know what, you know, the practice answer would be, but really letting ourselves have the experience. And one of the things I saw in that was, so let's take... gosh, I would be happy if only. And what I just saw for myself is, in order to answer that question, I actually have to go to the happy. And that's really, really helpful, because when I do that, I'm actually going to the place that supposedly I need this condition to take me to, but I just went there in order to answer the question.
Right.
It's a fascinating process.
So fascinating. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you both.
Thank you. Go happy.
Go happy.
Thank you, Laura. And Jen, I'm going to move us on to our next caller.
All right.
Hold still. Next caller. Hold on. Next caller, you're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, this is Brad in Maryland. Can you guys hear me?
We can. Hey, Brad.
Yeah.
Good. Well, I know I'd be happy only if I wouldn't have to play out certain karma that causes me to suffer.
Uh-huh. Yep. Wave that magic wand.
And I say that because one of the things that I found so interesting is, as my practice has progressed, is having the experience of still carrying out the karma and being so aware of it as the karma happens, watching it consciously as it happens, and then afterwards watching the karmic process of the beatings. And I just say to myself, well, we went through that karmic process, but we can still stop it at any time.
Uh-huh. And when you say we can still stop it at any time, say more about what you're pointing out with that.
That the beating is a part of the whole cycle.
Got it,
In other words, that there's the payoff for the karmic behavior that went on, and there's nothing really wrong with the karmic behavior to begin with, as much as it is, it's creating an identity through that behavior continually.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so subtle what you're talking about, because I think that's one of the bamboozles that conditioned mind uses, is to get us to, I guess you could say, work with kind of the wrong piece. So in another retreat setting, we're looking at some readings, and one of the readings is really around sort of, well, it's basically the serenity prayer, you know, the one about, you know, help me to see which are the things I actually have influence over and which are the things that I don't. And I think what you're pointing at is, you know, very often the things that blow through for us karmically are things we think we should have control over, but we actually don't. They just come through, but we have a lot of influence over practicing our relationship with those. And I think that's what you're pointing at.
Well, not only that, but just the fact that if it wasn't something that my conditioning would realize would be causing this cycle to happen, the content could be totally different.
Yes.
You know, I heard conditioning say right when you were talking there, but it's like, oh, if she only knew what karmic process I was talking about, the judgment she would have. Yeah. It's like, oh, great. You know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Exactly. Exactly. And I think a piece of what I think you're pointing at is that beating and that holding the conditional in place is the thing that pins it down and holds the karma in place.
Yeah.
Right? Because if I'm allowed to, it's why we talk about, well, everywhere all the time, but especially in the There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat, that place where the most radical thing we can do is not change anything, not, you know, whatever, see the things we're doing, and really, really watch it. Just pay really, really close attention. And it's almost impossible to do because the almost addiction, we could say, to going unconscious and to receiving that beating that comes with the whole process is so strong. But what happens when we can stay present to all of it is the pieces start to unravel. You know, and if there isn't that beating after it, it starts to change the dynamic of the entire thing in ways we could never have predicted.
Yes. And I also, as crazy as it sounds, during the karmic process, try to keep it lightly. I'm like, oh, here's stage six where this happens. Here's this.
Exactly.
There's that, you know.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, exactly. And, well, I guess there's more to wear out here.
Yeah. Yeah. So
yeah.
Good yeah. stuff to see.
It is good. Thank you so much, Brad.
All right. Thank you, Jen. You guys have a good
one. All right.
One. Take care.
Bye-bye. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Brad. And, Jen, I think we've got time for one more caller, so.
All right. Cool.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Well, hi. This is Phil from California.
Hey, Phil.
Hi. Yes, I really love this series of questions this week because it seems to me it, and it's kind of like what you were talking about a little bit a while ago. Well, at least the way I did it, I let an awareness, so you could say awareness let conditioning answer, do the first answers to the questions.
Mm. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it was like a sneaky trick because it just ferrets out, you know, what it wants,
yep.
what it thinks and what it wants to say.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, some of it is very familiar because I hear it all the time and know what it's, what's going on. And some of it, you know, it kind of will bring up something that, that's interesting because it's more subtle. Like it will say in some of it, like the perfect life or something, it would name things if only, you know, you lived in the presence or, you know, it was things like that. It would say things that were already true in ways.
That's good.
And make, you know, which that's the sneaky part it does in life, you know, for me, is like pick some things that are true and act as if they're not.
Oh, God, that's subtle. Yeah.
Yeah, like, oh, you just need to, be present or to practice more. Well, that's what my whole life's all about. Practicing more to be present, you know what I mean?
And if we don't notice it, yeah, that's true. Gosh,
it really falls. It's that thing that brings on the right, yeah. God, I'll never get it.
And after this many years, and oh my gosh,
right.
I can't remember in what setting recently Sherry was talking again about. Oh, maybe it's on a Tuesday night radio show. I don't know. Anyway, talking to a friend who was laughing, saying they were at the gym, and he heard the voice and said, you know, I really should go to the gym more often.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
So what, right? Yeah. So we're meant to go like, yeah, I know, I really, really should. And then, whoa, I'm at the gym, right? But we're supposed to completely miss that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really true. It does that, and it does this. I was looking at the anger one too, where it the other thing it seems to like to do is make things wrong that are just there. Say like anger, which then actually clogs the system, so the anger stays. Rather than have it as energy just flowing through in and out and doing its thing.
Yes.
You know, it really just it's like it plugs the tube, so to speak.
Right.
Until it just builds up inside.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I can't quite it's at the edges of my awareness, but I know there's been a lot of weather on the East Coast. Actually, we got to ask Chris about that. But that place of, you know, so if there's a big storm coming through, and I'm going to batten down the hatches and, you know, try to make, or, you know, this works better with karma than I think it does with actual hurricanes, but open all the windows and, you know, just, all right, so there's anger. Let it go through. But as you say, if I'm in a conversation about it and I think it's wrong and I shouldn't be and I shouldn't have it that way, it's a little bit what we were just looking at with Brad. That's the thing that really pins it in place and keeps it there.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So it's like, for me, each one of these, in a way, is kind of brought light to another. It's a trick or one of its bamboozles or just some little thing it can do.
Yep.
So, yeah, I like letting it talk when I know it's the one doing the talking.
Yeah, really. That truly puts awareness in the driver's seat, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, and it really shows up, you know, a lot. Kind of under the scene.
Exactly.
So anyhow.
All right. Thanks, Phil.
So thank you. Thank you, Chris, and everybody.
Thanks, Phil.
All right.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right, and I'm with you 100%, Jen, keeping those windows open. Don't let them get clogged up by those if-only statements, and the energy will do what it needs to do. So.
Yep. And you guys came through the real storm?
We did. Here in Asheville, the storm went to the north of us, and so we got off pretty light. And,
Well, our thoughts are with any folks who maybe didn't get off so light.
Yeah, there are a bunch that did take the brunt of that storm, so exactly so. Yeah, a lot of compassion for
a lot of compassion.
Few days.
Yeah, I actually, just super quickly, I was on the phone with a call center and recognized there several folks, different folks I talked to, and they all sounded like they were from the Philippines, so I said the same thing to them, and they told me a little bit about how they're sharing. So it's just, God, there's always... seems like a lot of folks everywhere around the globe that our hearts can be with.
For sure. All right.
All right.
Good, Jen. That
so
brings
what's
us to
now?
The end of another wonderful show and our assignment for today. My life would have been better if only... ... Record and listen.
Very good.
On we go.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks, everyone.
All right, thank you, Jen. Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. Go happy, everyone.
Go happy. Bye-bye.
Bye.